This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Arvind Yuvraj. You're listening to Tech Talk. Now, if you're into gaming, you've probably heard of Epic Games. And even if you're not into gaming, you've probably heard of Fortnite, which is the biggest game on the planet and has been for a few years, which is developed by Epic Games. Epic is also famous for something called the Unreal Engine, which is known as the world's most powerful real-time 3D creation platform. Now, the reason I bring this up is because on the show today, we're going to be focusing on the versatility of that Unreal Engine. Because while it's primarily used in entertainment, such as like movies, TV shows, video games and stuff, it's also playing a crucial role in helping industries adapt to a pandemic-driven world. I'm joined by Dean Reinhardt, the technical account manager at Epic Games, to help us understand just how flexible the engine is. Dean, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, thanks. It's a great opportunity.
So I think a good place to start would be to have an overview of what the Unreal Engine is. You know, for those listening who might not be as familiar, could you give us a brief overview of Epic Games and more specifically Unreal Engine and what it means as this piece of technology?
Yeah, no problem. So Unreal Engine is a game development engine, which Epic Games, starting out as a games company, that's where we went. So Unreal Engine, it powers Fortnite, which is a massive multiplayer kind of game, which has about 350 million players around the world. Mm-hmm. Because of the benefits of real-time technology, we also find it being very useful in architecture, construction, media and entertainment, and it's powered things such as the first season of Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And a lot of architects such as Zaha Hadid are using it in design and content creation. Because the real-time 3D technology brings in new avenues for creativity, and you're not waiting a long time to see the output of your creative concepts. It's all these different industries that we've really taken an interest in because it can start to provide them new avenues to actually create content. Especially, we're seeing a lot of people using it to bring in different content creators that they might ordinarily save till later down the line. So you can have the concept artists working with the designers and post-production teams while bringing customers in earlier into the process so that they don't have to wait months to see an output. They can get involved very early on and start to understand what it is that you're trying to create for them.
Yeah. So for this conversation, we're mainly going to be focusing on architecture and property or the property scene for now and how Epic is involved in enhancing that experience. Why property, though? Because was it just like the natural next step, like natural progression because of how realistic CGI was becoming and even video games were becoming in that sense?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of new technologies that are just starting to mature now, and real-time ray tracing is it's been the holy grail of video game development for a long time, and it's now finally possible. So with that, we're able to get realistic lighting into these real-time environments. So for architectural visualization, that's a really big deal because you can start to understand exactly what the light is going to do if you move a window or on a particular time of day, on a particular time of year, at the specific altitude and geolocation. You can actually see realistically what this is meant to look like. And with new tools such as Twinmotion coming in, it's a really simple process for people to start using their assets and see how they look in a real-time environment. Mm-hmm. We've also got, especially over the last few years, really large advancements in virtual reality and augmented reality tech, so that people can just put on a headset and walk around in their environment to see exactly what it's going to look like, either once construction is finished or when you are doing renovations, for example.
So I think this is where a slight misconception comes in. And I think there is a misconception that, you know, this is similar to the 3D models that many property developers are using to give people like a quote-unquote virtual tour of the space. But that's not exactly what you're talking about, right? Like, that's the most sort of basic use of 3D. But the use of the Unreal Engine in this context is for something a lot more complex, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so 3D renders have been around in architecture and other industries for decades now, but you would often be generating out a static kind of photo because it would take you a long time to render a nice quality, realistic looking shot of a scene. Mm. Now, using Unreal Engine and real-time ray tracing, we're able to see that kind of level of detail in real time. So you can open it up and explore the environment. You can walk around, view it from different angles, but you can also make changes to the lighting. So you can drop in new realistic lights into your room and understand exactly what it's going to be looking like before construction. So for designers and architects, it's huge, but also for people looking to purchase real estate, especially now with COVID and you're unable to go out on site to see display rooms, being able to view these realistic environments, understand what it looks like if you change your furnishings or change the countertops in a kitchen, for example, you can really see exactly what the final product is going to come out like.
And even different times of day, right? Like you want to see what your house is going to look like or your building is going to look like at night or in the day or in the evening, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can use very realistic atmospheric effects within Unreal. So you can actually pick a very particular day of the year of a particular year and a time of day and see what it's going to look like on that time. If you want to know what's going to be in your room on Chinese New Year in 5 years' time, you can visualize that and see and say, okay, I really should move my window to the other side just to be prepared.
And am I right to say that doing all of this like in real time doesn't take as much processing power as it would have before because of the Unreal Engine?
Yeah, it's Unreal Engine and newer technologies that are coming along to allow this real-time ray tracing. There's obviously been vast advancements in hardware over the last generation, or 10 years or so, and applying these within Unreal Engine, it's the real-time ray tracing and GPU light mask that we have now, where hardware that used to be very specific for multimedia production with very large budgets is now something that people can have on their home workstation. Mm-hmm. And we also have technologies such as pixel streaming, which allows us to put the very high-quality content on the web, which can then be streamed to users over a web browser. So your customer doesn't need to have this high-end machine in their house. They can just open up a web browser on a desktop machine or even on an iPad, and they can view and make those changes and see the realistic quality on any device.
What kind of adoption are you predicting for countries like Malaysia and Singapore, for that instance, when it comes to stuff like virtual tours and spaces built using the Unreal Engine? Like, what would the local industry need to sort of latch onto something like that on a wide-scale basis?
Yeah, we're seeing very large growth throughout the region, especially in the architecture, engineering, construction area. And the pandemic has really accelerated this, where a lot of companies were starting to push into this area a little bit slowly. Now we've seen that demand really pick up because people can't go out on site to view construction areas. They can't collaborate around a room on a design. So now by using these tools, you can put multiple people in a shared environment, whether that be in virtual reality, augmented reality, on a desktop machine, that they can all experience this together. So they're able to come up with design concepts, consult with their customers and clients, and really push the boundaries there. So especially, as you mentioned, between Singapore and Malaysia, there's often a lot of overlap between companies that are doing projects in both countries. Mm-hmm. And now that travel is just not possible. So using these tools, the team is still able to collaborate. And oftentimes now that they're getting more familiar with the tools, they're finding that this is actually a better process for them. So I think even once things die down from the COVID side of things, we'll see these companies stick with these practices because they've now found better efficiencies with the tools.
Right. But do you see pushback from the consumers, though? Because like property developers, they are leveraging this technology and it's good for them. But property is kind of a traditional thing, so a lot of people might still want to go there in person because they don't, quote-unquote, trust what they see online, right, or through technology. So is there pushback in that sense?
I think that lack of trust has come from the previous sort of generation of tech where the content quality might have been either vastly exaggerated or at a much lower sort of bar. So now that we're able to deliver this really high quality, realistic content, it really allows the people to experience these things to a much greater sort of level, but it also provides them newer kind of opportunities as well. So they're able to go into these virtual spaces and adjust their fittings and finishings and make sort of changes that they wouldn't be able to do in a display room, especially with a lot of property being sold off the plan or built to order in the region. Those kind of walking on site and seeing the real building often wasn't even an option. So now that these new tools are available, that they're really getting new opportunities for using them and understanding the space before they make a purchase. So I don't see that this will change in the future. I think we will see a combination of digital twins coming into the retail spaces so that people can kind of experience in them in both ways, regardless of their location.
Yeah, and I think a huge like bonus would be, especially with the increase of like high-rise buildings and condominiums, one of the things you can never see when going to a display unit is the view, right? They can only tell you that you'd get a view of the city from, you know, floor 45 or 35 or whatever. And I guess with Unreal, you can sort of render the entire environment, like everything that's around the condo as well.
Absolutely. So a lot of people are able to use drones now to capture exact footage from the correct building height. So if you were having the retail sort of twin and you wanted to purchase an apartment on a west-facing 35th floor, you can look exactly what that view is going to be like. And then you can swap onto the east-facing and see. But if there, you might find out there's a building in the way, so you want to purchase something a bit higher up, something which, as you mentioned, you wouldn't know if you were just purchasing something from a display room, which is where most of the built-to-order type ones or purchasing off the plans would normally come from.
So, Dean, how much of this depends on the adoption of VR headsets, though? Because that was supposed to happen a few years ago, especially when PlayStation released its headgear. But VR isn't as mainstream as everyone thought it would be yet, especially in gaming. So isn't the whole experience much better with VR, or doesn't it depend on someone having those VR goggles or headset?
It's an optional extra, essentially. So we're able to do AR as well through mobile devices and web and more advanced systems such as HoloLens, which can be used in display rooms along with VR equipment that is dedicated for these kind of things. But we're finding with pixel streaming and using a web browser or AR device, you're able to experience in this in a very similar sort of way. Obviously, that VR gives an extra push to the realism and allows you to really be in that environment. But it's not a necessity to be able to use this technology in any way.
So we need to take a break to get some messages in, but stick around. I'm speaking with Dean Reinhard from Epic Games about using the Unreal Engine in areas and industries that are starting to leverage on its real-time 3D capabilities. This is Tech Talk, and we'll be back on BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. I am Arvind Yuvaraj, and I'm joined today by Dean Reinhard from Epic Games. We're talking about the Unreal Engine and its many uses, as well as the future of this incredibly robust platform. So, you know, just looking at this this thing in its entirety, right, and how far it's come, I think we can see how video game technology can be applied to other areas in life, as we spoke about at the top of the conversation. It trickles down to real-world areas and industries, but I'm also curious whether there's a reverse effect as well, you know. Does Epic's involvement with property and architecture benefit video games as well? Not just business-wise, but in terms of, like, sharpening the tech, figuring out new ways to render the environment, stuff like that.
Absolutely. There's many different kind of art forms that come into making a game. And as long as there's been 3D games around, people have been working with architects to try and understand the real built world and make these environments in games more realistic. So by working with architects and engineers and seeing what they're able to create in Unreal Engine, it's allowing new technology to be built specifically for their requirements, which can then feed back into the virtual worlds. So moving forward through the next decade, we'll start to see a lot more adoption of digital twins and the metaverse, which will be a digital recreation of the real world, essentially. And this hyperconnectivity is really going to change things going forward. You mentioned the VR headsets not having the large adoption at the moment, but as we see the hardware and software and new technologies come along, I think we will start to see a lot more of this adoption of VR and AR and a lot more different systems that are coming into play, really taking into account what people have been doing with the tools outside of gaming and how that will start to impact them in a game environment.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to say that we are sort of like on the brink of that, right? Because if you look at Cyberpunk in its perfect form or stuff like Uncharted, God of War, the environments are almost like 99% real enough. And we're just at that, you know, a couple of percent more and we'll get there.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work to recreate the real world in a realistic looking fashion. Yeah. So a lot of the tools that Epic Games are developing are around making more realistic environments, but providing tools to creators to be able to generate massive worlds without needing to fine tune and create every single tiny little detail. And we have Quixel that does photogrammetry all around the world, doing photo scans to recreate real world assets that are able to be used for free inside Unreal Engine and in Twinmotion. So by bringing in these real world assets, you remove the need for artists to try and create things from scratch, because you don't really want an architect to spend time 3D modeling a rock or a tree. You want them to be able to spend their time creating their designs and then add that extra little bit of realism by bringing in the entourage assets for the trees, the rocks, the people and the vehicles moving around in the scene. So by using Quixel assets, they're extremely high quality and they look as real as you can possibly get because they are real world assets that have been scanned.
Hmm. And I'm just thinking about this. Do you think this will also tackle the issue of crunch time, which is kind of a issue in the video game industry, right? Because if you spend less time and you have more tech at your disposal, then that issue doesn't become as big as it is now, as it has been in the last couple of years with video games.
Yeah, and I think especially with COVID at the moment and high-profile sort of crunch issues within the industry, we're seeing teams needing to adapt to a remote working environment. So providing them the tools where they're able to collaborate much better and work as a team in a better kind of more friendly system, it's a really useful kind of tool in there. And that has often been a complicated task to achieve, but we've seen really great strides in collaborative workflows that has been driven from other industries, particularly the virtual production sort of space. So for teams that are working on shows such as Mandalorian and Westworld, you have an entire team that would often be sitting in a back room doing post-production work, now sitting together in a room making real-time changes. So while it might actually change the jobs that people do, it's allowing them to get involved in the creative concepts as it's happening rather than afterwards. So you can start to remove a lot of this back and forth that would require reworking things because of miscommunication type of issues.
Yeah. I'm not sure if this question makes sense, but we are a business station and I have to ask just out of like instinct, how does Unreal make money for the company and more importantly for Epic? Because it is open software, it is free to download and it's extremely heavy duty. But where does that revenue come from? You know, because I bet Unreal is worth a lot.
So Unreal Engine has been around for a long time and we're currently in Unreal Engine 4. So we did announce last year Unreal Engine 5 that will be coming out, which is leaps and bounds beyond what we've seen before. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting to look forward to. With our current Unreal sort of process, we have multiple different options that are available for customers from a licensing standpoint. But as you mentioned, for people in AEC industry, Unreal is completely free to use. Mm-hmm. So within the gaming space, we have a commission sort of model. For the first $1 million, it is completely free for people. And then we have a 5% royalty that applies after that. Within non-gaming spaces, we do have enterprise sort of licensing that is able to help out with services and support and things in that sort of place. So that's where the revenue comes in from that for enterprise. But if you want to use just the creative version of it, you are able to use it entirely for free, and we have standard online support sort of structures in there. But if you need that extra sort of help, we're around to help out with that.
That makes sense. And speaking of money, right, I read this article about how Epic Games rewarded the Department of Architecture at Cornell University with a cash gift because of their work on Virtual Places, which also uses Unreal Engine. And this was in June 2019. So Epic has been looking at the property scene for a while now, like you said. Is that how Epic works with the community? Because it sounds like a good way of sort of crowdsourcing for new ideas for the Unreal Engine.
Yeah, so our main goal is to help people create amazing things with Unreal Engine. So we have a $100 million fund that was set up to give away money for exciting projects. And this is not an investment. We're not looking to get anything back out of it. It is literally, we're giving out money to people that are creating amazing stuff in Unreal. So we want to be able to help people create these tools, create new assets, and really push the boundaries of what people think is possible. So that's been going for a while now, and that fund is across all industries, whether it's games, media and entertainment, architecture, construction. And we've worked with a range of partners like Cornell, like you mentioned, who have received mega grants, and we're continuing to fund really exciting teams and projects that are being done in Unreal.
A couple of more questions, Dean. What kinds of challenges are you facing at the moment with Unreal, or even the implementation of Unreal or the adoption? Any challenges that you can think of?
Yeah, so you're probably aware that architects and engineers are not really keen on changing their workflows. Once they get settled in it, it tends to stay that way. Mm-hmm. And even when I studied architecture, the first couple of years, we were still doing paper and pen. And it took a fair bit of time to convince the industry to move over to using digital tools. Hmm. So we have Twinmotion, which is another product, which is actually built on top of Unreal Engine, but it's designed as a very simple sort of tool for architectural visualization. So architects are able to bring in their 3D models and then view it in that realistic sort of looking environment. But it doesn't have the added complexity of Unreal Engine, which is a full game development tool. So we're able to work with architects and engineers to bring in their models from tools like Revit straight away into Twinmotion, where they can drop in the free Entourage assets, mm-hmm. visualize the scene, which can then be exported to a VR. It can be published to web. It can be exported as an interactive sort of package for, let's say, touchscreen retail spaces. But we also have the option to then export from Twinmotion into Unreal. So if the initial architects decide they want to have that more in-depth interactivity or add extra uses to it later on, then a developer can work in Unreal to add those details. But the architects can stick with their current tools and just use things like Twinmotion to give that extra realism and see their designs in that real-time environment.
I'm just curious, like, do you think that sort of mindset will change with not the millennial, but the Gen Z architects who are coming up, who, you know, who gaming is not a quote-unquote kids thing anymore, like everyone games. You think that with a lot more people gaming, that sort of approach to using technology for their work is going to change in maybe the next 15, 20 years?
Absolutely. It's the technology is evolving so rapidly that when you're in an enterprise environment, it often is an investment to learn a new tool. But for people that are coming out, these new tools are standard practice, and it's commonplace now for people to see them. So we are seeing a bit of a push up from the bottom to adopt these new tools. And we have found that as soon as people start to get familiar with them, there's really no turning back. When you can visualize your creative assets in real time and suddenly make changes to it and understand and convey those new concepts to people, it's very difficult for someone to go back to waiting several hours to create a single render. So the new generation is going to be constantly adopting these new tools. And I think we will find a quicker time to adopt the new tools just because it's a more familiar environment to people once they get started.
I think a nice way to end the interview would be to talk about expansion plans, you know, so beyond architecture and property and urban spaces. What do you think is next, or the next big thing for Unreal, besides games even? Where could it go?
Yeah, so we're finding a lot of interesting use cases, and the virtual production side of things is being used across a lot of different industries. But the thing that really excites me is the digital twins. So my previous company that I started, we were building IoT devices to monitor elevators for remote maintenance. And we were able to bring that data in real time into Unreal Engine and see what was happening in these systems in a way that you really couldn't before. And we were even pulling up real-time telemetry data in a VR headset so that you can understand the raw nuts and bolts to see what's going on. So we're seeing teams start to create digital twins of entire cities. So a team in Shanghai created a full digital twin of Shanghai that has been used for simulation purposes in train stations and things to understand traffic flow if, let's say, an escalator goes out, and how do you maintain social distancing.
Oh, wow.
But you then also have these available for people to understand what happens if we need to build a new road through this part of the city. Who is affected by that? Then you can have that open for people to view in the same way that you would have to make engineering plans public. But now you can have fully interactive digital twins of a city where everyone can use it and see, oh, wow, this road is going to change things drastically for me. I want to have my input heard. And it's really these digital twins of the real world, which are tying in multiple industries together. And it's a really exciting time to get involved in the real-time technology with that.
Dean, thanks so much for your time, man.
Great. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Right, that was Dean Reinhardt, Technical Account Manager at Epic Games, giving us some insight into the versatility of the Unreal Engine and what it means for industries outside entertainment and video games. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.